This morning, take your Bible and turn to the very beginning, Genesis chapter 1, for a message this morning. Genesis chapter 1. This morning, we will be beginning a series of messages, a little bit different, not a verse-by-verse study, but, Lord willing, a chronological study of the Bible through the different accounts that are recorded in the Bible. I trust will be a help and a blessing to us. And we live in a different day than we than was around, 40, 50 years ago. 40, 50 years ago, probably, 80% of the population knew a lot of the main Bible stories. They've been, a lot of people have been in Sunday school. Not everyone was a Christian, but a lot of people have been in Sunday school. A lot of people have been in church. The Bible had more influence in society and so on. So a lot of people knew more of what the Bible has to say. Today we don't live in that kind of a day. And though maybe perhaps you were raised in church or have been in church long enough to have become familiar with many of the stories of the Bible, the many who have not. Even some of us who have been raised to know them and come to know them, perhaps even known them from a child, consider the Bible stories as Bible stories. Sometimes we think of a story as just being a nice, light little story. But the Bible stories are not just, they're not fairy tales at all. They're factual accounts of what took place. And I think sometimes I hesitate to, when I think of the term, we'll look at some of the Bible stories for fear that people just think, little fairy tale stories. No, they're biblical accounts of what happened, factual accounts of real people that dealt with real situations, and God was real and active in many of those situations, in all of them, when people wanted to be, wanted to have Him be. The Bible is history. And somebody said that history is actually His story. God has recorded for us the Bible accounts, the biblical stories, so that we can learn from them. So we can learn what life was like. Yes, we can learn history. That's good. It's good to learn historical facts. We can also learn about people and what they faced in their lives. And we can also learn about ourselves through what we see in the mirror, as the Bible is called, the mirror of God's Word. Romans 15:4 says that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And so the things that are written in the Bible are written for us to learn from, to learn about the past, to learn about God, and to learn about ourselves. So a good understanding of the Bible will set us in a good place to live our lives today. The things that happen in the Bible happened a long time ago. The most current of them happened 2,000 years ago. Almost, anyway. And some of them happened, of course, many years before that. But knowing what's in the Bible and knowing the reason that God put them there will help us live our lives in 2017 and beyond as the Lord tarries His coming. It will give us a good foundation for our lives. The best place to begin a chronological study is at the start. And so this morning we will begin in the beginning. And that is the title of the message this morning, is In the Beginning. Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament with the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered unto one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called He seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in himself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful, and multiply, and fill the waters and the sea in the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be given, shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to every thing that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given to every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Let's pray together. Lord, this morning we come to a familiar portion of Scripture, and Lord, a very factual account of the beginning of our world as we know it here upon this earth. And Lord, we thank you that you've recorded that for us. And Lord, as we would take time to think about it and consider it this morning, I pray that our hearts would be touched, that our lives would be changed, Lord, that we'd see the things in this account that we can learn from and apply in our daily lives. Lord, that it would help us to have a better foundation for our life, and that it would also help us to have something wherewith we may answer those who have questions about the beginning of life. And so, Lord, use your word, we pray, by your Spirit, to stir our hearts this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to think about, first of all, this morning, the case for creation. We looked at the creation account this morning and read the account of God's creation. There's a case for creation. The beginning, the Bible says, in the beginning. The beginning, the very start, the very thing that was at the first. Everything we know has one. A beginning. We look around and everything that we can see with our eyes has a starting place. It has a beginning. We sometimes, and there's none this month that we're aware of anyways, but we have bulletin in the bulletin, we have birthdays. Everyone looks back at that day and say we may or may not know the year of somebody's birthday. We may rather forget the year of our own birth, but we know that there was a beginning to our sojourn upon this planet Earth. We think about trees and we may say a tree, that tree is very old. That tree is 30 years old or 40 years old or 50 years old or whatever. But we say it had a start and now it's this many years into its life. We talk of the beginning of nations and we look back at our own nation and we say, well, this year we're celebrating 150 years that Canada has been. So there was a start to this nation of Canada in 1867. It had a beginning. The food that we eat, often we look on there and it has a date of manufacture. And then it has a best before date. Somebody said that's not bad after, that's just best before, but sometimes it is bad after that date. But it has a manufacturing date. Sometimes it's very clearly spelled out, sometimes it's in a code that the manufacturer would know, but it had a beginning, it had a start. We think of a house and we say, well, this house was just freshly built. They just built this whole subdivision in this last couple of years, and we say, this had a beginning. We look at our cars and we say, well, this car is a 2005, or this car is a 2016, or this car is whatever year. We say, it had a beginning. That's when it was made. To us, if it doesn't have a beginning, it isn't here. So in the beginning, God gives us the beginning of everything that we see and know and can touch and smell and see. The beginning of the world. But there are a lot of questions about the beginning, aren't there? A lot of people question the account that we just read of the beginning and say, well, that's what somebody wrote down and it was a story passed down over generations and Moses finally wrote it down and recorded it, but it's just an old wives' fable about the beginning. People have questions about the beginning. They say, who are we? Where did we come from? How did we get here? Many have come up with their explanations. Explosions. Millions or billions or trillions of years ago in space, and a big explosion. The Big Bang. That started everything, some would say. Some say, there was aliens and there's other, people on other planets, aliens, and they inhabited the earth and they started this earth as we know it. That's the beginning. Prehistoric accident, survival of the fittest, etc. People look back and they say that was the beginning. They were the beginnings of our world. Without knowledge of our origins, how do we determine our purpose and direction? That's why people ask, who am I? Where did I come from? How did I get here? What am I here for? The case for creation rests in the need of man to know where he came from. God gave us this description. God gave us this, which we believe to be true, recorded, well, known by God and given to be recorded by Moses. But who was there when the foundation was the earth that was laid? God asked Job. The answer is God himself, who gave these words to Moses to record the events of how he started the world. The Bible alone declares the vital facts about the beginning. There's the case for creation. Then we have the creator of that creation. It also amazes me that some people who don't believe in God still talk about this world as being a creation. But if there's no creation, if there's no creator, there is no creation, right? The very word creation demands that there be a creator. The prevailing thought of the day is that things just happened by chance, as we've said, that things came into being out of nothing and evolved over time to where we are now. But that philosophy makes no sense. Nor is it biblical. We would never say that anything else that has order just happened. Our car just happened. Some of the lemons that are on the road, maybe they did just happen. But even those, they were put together. They were assembled, and it would be foolish to say this wheel just happened and this rubber just happened to wrap around this piece of metal that was round, and now and then it somehow these things threaded themselves onto axles, and we say that's foolish, that's ridiculous. And yet people do that very thing with something far more complex, life, and the world in which we live. What can we learn about our Creator from His creation that He's given us the record of here in the beginning? We know that He was powerful. The Bible, the very first few words, the first four words, the fourth word is God. In the beginning, God. We know that the words God and Lord and Jesus and so on are words that are names and titles of the Creator. The word God, as we have it in our Bible, the Hebrew word is Elohim, means the mighty ones, exceeding, mighty. The mighty God, powerful. We learn that God is very powerful by what He has done. He made in the beginning the heavens, or the heaven and the earth. Heaven, the atmosphere around the earth, as recorded there, that the birds would fly in the heaven. The stars beyond that are also recorded as being heaven or the heavens. And of course, there's a place that He dwells, but here we're looking at the heaven and the earth. The Bible tells us in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The power of God. You know, God did not start with raw materials when He made the earth. He spoke it into existence out of nothing. You may be as impressed as I am when you see somebody make something. Maybe you see a carpenter make a cabinet or a chair or a stool or something, and you look at that and you say that the intricate design and so on, and you say that person had great talent, that person had great skill, and they were able to create something that is so beautiful and so productive and so helpful and so on. But you realize that to make that furniture, they had something to begin with. They had the wood. They had the screws. They had the glue. Take it back a notch and say, well, this person I know, they chop down their own tree, and they have a saw that they cut the wood into strips, and they dried it out so it didn't crack, and they made it from nothing. No, they still had the tree that they could cut and make it into something. Impressive, yes. But they had something to begin with. Think of a car that's made, and you say, well, it's amazing that somebody could make a car and put it together, and the whole assembly line, the production, I think that's amazing, but they have the metal that they begin with, and the plastic that they begin with, and all the different connectors and so on that they begin with. They have all those things, and they put them together to make. And so the same could be said about everything, whether it be circuit boards or whether it could be a beautiful meal and so on. We say people made it, but they had something to make it with in the beginning. But God had nothing when He made the world. He made it out of nothing. Mighty, powerful, God created out of nothing. He didn't have something to start with. He spoke into existence the things that He made. That shows great power, does it not? And God didn't take millennia to create a world. He didn't take millions of years or billions of years. We just read it in just a few short minutes. And then yes, that just took a few minutes to read the story. But God tells us at the end of each day that after 6 days, this world existed. With animals, with plants, with fish, with people. It was a productive place. In 6 days, out of nothing. That's power. Solomon took 13 years to build his own house. The Romans took 8 years to build the Colosseum, they say. But God took 6 days to make the world. That's power. He's not just another God. He is God Almighty, the mighty God. 1 Chronicles 16:26 says, for all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 10:12, He hath made the earth by His power. He has established the world by his wisdom and has stretched out the heavens by his discretion. The creator of creation is powerful. If he can make the world in 6 days and rest on the seventh, do you realize he can give you power and victory in your life? See, I'm struggling with this. I just can't handle it. I just can't get the victory over that. God says, I made the world in 6 days. Don't you think I can help you with that? But this situation is just too much. It's overwhelming. I'll never make it through this. And God would whisper to us, just look back at Genesis chapter 1. See what I did? In 6 days, out of nothing. I made the world. Life. And all that in it is. If he can do that, do you not think he can give you the victory in your life, the strength in your life, the direction that you need, the deliverance that you need? Don't say, I can't. There's just no way that we'll get through this. Say, God, if you can do that, you can work with me through this. You can help me through this. You can guide my life through this situation. The creator creation is powerful, and that ought to teach us much about what he can do in our lives, but he's also eternal. He was before the beginning. You see, the Bible doesn't say when God began. It says when God began his work of creation. The Bible doesn't need to tell us how God came to be because it tells us that he always has been. He is eternal. In the beginning of what we know, this life, this world, this space and everything that's in it, in the beginning of that, that's when God made that. But God was already there to make it in the beginning. Before you can make something, you have to be there. God was already there. Go back to creation around 6,000 years ago by looking at the genealogies and so on through the Bible a little over 6,000 years ago. We say that that's the beginning, but God doesn't have a beginning. He was already there at that time. He already existed. The Bible doesn't question God's origin. It states it as fact. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. He is God. He already possessed wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 8, we had the time to look, and you can look at Proverbs chapter 8, is wisdom personified and wisdom speaking. And what does it say about wisdom? It says that God possessed me in the beginning when he formed the world. God was already wise. He's eternal. God has always been. You know, there's nothing new that comes along to God that surprises him. He says, I don't know what to do about that. I've never seen that before. I've never heard of that before. And I don't know what to do. Sorry, people. You have to deal with that yourself. No, he's always been. He knows everything. He knows the end from the beginning. He created time and he's going to erase time. And he can look after us during this time. He is eternal. There's nothing that will take him by surprise. No matter what you're dealing with, God knows all about it. He is eternal. When this world is over and time is no more, God will still be. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 102, he says, the earth will be wax old and be folded as a garment, but God will endure. He'll still be there. And so we learn about the case of creation, and we see the creator of creation, and we see the character of creation also in that which we've read this morning here in Genesis chapter 1. This creation of God's making was described as detailed, as artistic, and as being very good. God created what he made of the finest quality. When he looked at it at the end of that 6 days, he looked at it and he said it was very good. Great detail went into the creation. Imagine the know-how to create a world. Imagine the intelligence that it took to make life. I mean, we just read it here in Genesis chapter 1, and it says that the seed was in itself to produce the next. We say, yeah, that's right. Seeds in apples, in oranges, in whatever. The seed's in there. If it falls in the ground, it plants, it grows another tree. We just take it as for granted because that's what we always know. You imagine life. There's life in that little seed. God created so that the tree would produce a fruit that would have a seed in it that would produce more fruit for it to continue on. Imagine that God created stars and the sun to give light. Can you imagine all the things in our body? We know that doctors can fix hearts and lungs and all different things, and they can stitch us up and all those things. I'm glad they can. But can you imagine designing a heart and lungs and blood vessels and those little valves that are in those veins? So the blood goes one way and it comes back and it gets re-oxygenated and it goes around, and a brain that sends out electrical impulses to tell your limbs what to do and your mouth what to say and your eyes where to look, and your eyes can see things and they can see colors and they can see movement and all those things. Imagine designing something so complex. It's phenomenal, isn't it? We have things that we have designed, we as in man, I don't think I've ever designed much of anything, but you know, we have things that we have designed, but what is a lot of that? That's a lot of copy. We see that what God has made, and we design something to replace that. Maybe a artificial limb, and thank God that people have designed those. God's given the wisdom to people to design those, but they copy the original. And they make something that can do that. It's marvelous and it's amazing, but they had a template to go by, didn't they? And what they made is usually far inferior to the original, but thankfully they've been able to do those things. But they had the original. God made the world out of nothing with no plans previously that he could look back at, maybe failed plans from somebody else that had done something. No, he made from nothing in his great wisdom everything that we see. Not only is there the technological ability, but think of the artistic ability of God. God didn't just say, I'm going to make trees and make a whole bunch of apple trees. All the same, grow the same, branches produce the same fruit. No, God made a whole bunch of different fruit trees. He didn't just say, I'm going to grow some vegetables, and so I'll just make carrots the vegetable. Now, some of you wish he hadn't made so many different vegetables. But he did. He didn't just make one kind of animal. He didn't say, well, it'd be amazing to have an animal and to make something that you know, can walk and eat and move around and so on and reproduce. God didn't just make one. He made all vast varieties. Everything from a humongous elephant to tiny little insects that you can't even see without a microscope. God made all that. God didn't just make everything gray or brown or green or red or white. He gave all the different colors. Look out of your window sometime. You may see a blue jay fly by. Just nice blue. Then fall, it might be a cardinal might fly by. And a bright red. Then there might be a little chickadee or whatever, those little yellowy colored birds will fly by, and you say, God made all those different sizes, they're different colors, they're different shapes, they're all different, but yet they're all birds. And they lay an egg, and they come out of that egg that if you catch it in time, you can eat it first, or if you like to eat them when they're partly developed, that's okay too, I guess, amen? In the Philippines, amen? Eat those eggs when they're partially growing. But I mean, this, you think of that, everything comes out of an egg. You say, that's amazing. And God made elephants and he made giraffes, and they don't look anything like the same. And he made dogs and he made cats and all these different things that God made. And you say, that's just phenomenal. And his artistic ability to think of the different colors. And sometimes we see on the nature shows, and sadly they're full of evolution, but sometimes they show a coral reef with all these different vibrant colors of fish. You say, wow, that's just amazing. Who's there to see those fish that are bright green and bright yellow and bright red? They're not all just gray blend in. They're all different colors, and some of them can change colors. And And some of them are varied colors and leopard-like or spotted and all these different things. God made those things. The character of creation, the detail that he put into it. I'm sure we all did have projects that we had to do at school. And what did many of us do? What's the bare minimum requirements here? Okay, yep, it had to be 300 words. Well, mine's, oh man, I've only got 299. Where can I add an and in there to make it 300 so I get the grade? But God didn't make a world like that. He didn't make a world that was just bare necessities, just blah, gray. No, he made this vibrant, colorful world with all different creatures and all different things within it. Hummingbirds to bald eagles to snakes with all different colors and things on them to great huge alligators and whales and fish, all these different things. God made all that. His attention to detail, to care for what he made, because did you see when we read there that he said at the end of chapter 1 that the herbs were for and the plants were for the animals to eat? He made a digestive system. He made the food supply. He made all those different things. And the circle of life, as we call it, God made it. God's work of creation was what was not willy-nilly, as we sometimes use the term. Jesus said, if God cares so much for his creation, will he not care for you as well? Oh, you have little faith. See, the character of creation is that God is a God of detail. And God is a God of concern of even the little things. And so those things in our life that may seem small to somebody else, that seem big to you, God says, I've got that. I know how to take care of that. I know how to look after the details of your life. I care about you. God is amazing in his ability. The chronology of creation is also seen. God had an order of creation. We read them. There was day one, and then there was day two, and then there was day three, and then there was day four, and day five, and day six, and day seven was the day of rest after the creation was finished. Days. Days of creation. 24-hour days. The evening and the morning were the first day, and so on. The sun and the moon to divide the day from the night. The differentiation between days, seasons, and years tell us that these were days. God made in six literal days, he made the world. Though many have sought to reconcile the supposed long ages of evolution that are required with the Bible and say, well, you know, we don't want the Bible to seem out of date, so maybe those days were really great long ages and God used evolution to make life over many ages. No, the Bible says the evening and the morning were the first day, and God made the sun to rule by day and the moon to rule by night, and he said that there would be days and there would be seasons and there would be years, differentiating days. God made it in literal days. If God had wanted us to think that the time was ages of time, he would have said, over a period of time, on the first period of time, I made this, and the second period of time, I made this. But he said, the first day, I did this, and the second day, I did this, and the third day, I did that. And so on. We don't need to help God out by trying to mesh science, so-called, with the Bible. The Bible is true. Let God be true, and every man a liar. God's word is true. It's established. He's given it to us. There's no difficulty to me in thinking that God could create the world in six literal days, because if he had the power to create, what difference does it make whether it was over 24 hours or whether it was over a billion years? If God can create the intense detail of life, it's no problem to him to do it in a short period of time. Exodus chapter 20, when God is giving the Ten Commandments, he says, in regards to the Sabbath day as a day of rest, he says, in 6 days the Lord made the earth, and on the seventh he rested. He doesn't say you're going to have to work for a whole bunch of time in your life, and then you can take rest, but you haven't been able to rest all along before. No, he says every week there's a rest, because it was 7 literal days. The basis of our week is the 6 literal days God took to create the world, and the seventh day as a day of rest. And there was an order in those days, wasn't there? On one day he made this, and on another day he made that. On the first day he made light and dark, and on the second the sun, moon, and the stars. And isn't that a nice little statement at the end? And he made the stars also. Just, yeah, he threw in those stars. Those thousands of stars that are amazing up in the sky that twinkle at night, and there are so many for you. Yeah, he made them too. Just threw them in for good measure. God made these things on the second day, rather. He made the sky and the sea. The third day was land and vegetation. The fourth day was the stars and the sun and the moon. The fifth day was the sea creatures and the fish and the birds. And the sixth was the animals and human beings. And then the seventh day he rested. There was an order of his days. Do you ever think, do you ever look at something that you need to get done around the house and make this statement, I just don't know where to start? Probably all of us had. Have. Or maybe something on your car, or maybe you want to make something, or you want to do something, you say, I just don't know where to start. You know, God didn't have that problem. He knew exactly where he was going to start. You ever done something then when you say, I just don't know where to start, and someone encourages you, you go, okay, I'll give it a shot, and you start working away, then you get something part way done, and you go, oh man, I needed to do that before I did this. Now I've got to take all this apart so I can go back to that spot and do what I should have done there. You see what we just read there in Genesis chapter 1? Did God ever say, oh no, I forgot. We needed the sun to give light so that those plants would grow. We're going to have to go back and undo things and create the sun after. I should have done that before. I never thought of it. No, God made everything in its order. And everything was just in the right order. In woodshop class, we used to say, we learned about house construction. We used to say, you know, it'd be nice, wouldn't it, if you could build the roof first? Wouldn't it, Justin, be nice to build the roof first? Then you won't get wet when you're doing all the rest of the work. Build the roof, then you can dig the foundation after, and you won't get wet while you're digging the foundation. Build the walls. But, you know, it doesn't work, does it? Because the roof has to be sitting on something. God knew exactly the order, and He did everything in the right order. He planned every day. You see, God in His great wisdom is a God of order. He's not the God of confusion, but He's a God of peace. You know, that's a great comfort in our lives, isn't it? That God has order. He has plans, and He has order. What does He say in Jeremiah 20:11? That He knows the thoughts that He has towards us. He knows the plans that He has for our life. He says, let all things be done decently and in order in 1 Corinthians 14:40. Because order brings peace and structure to life. We want to hurry ahead and do what we think, but God has a plan and order. He says, wait on me. Trust in me. Seek me first. When we do that, He says, I'll strengthen your heart. I'll provide for your needs. I'll direct your paths. But so many times we say, no, I got my order. I'll do it. I want to do it my way. I want to do this first. And our world's in a mess today because we said, God, we don't want your order. We want our own order. We want to do our thing. What do you mean work and then pleasure? We want pleasure first. And if we have time, we'll do a little bit of work. God says, put other people first. And we say, no, it's me first. It's all about me. I need to take care of me. We have our wants. We say, well, I have this much money, but I don't want to have to spend it on things I need. I want this stuff over here. And we put our wants before our needs. We put our feelings before the truth. We put sin before righteousness. And our world's in a disastrous mess because we said, God, we don't want your order. We want to do things our way. But God's a God of order. And if we do things in His way and His order, things go together so much better. He's given an order for a reason, just like He created the world in an orderly fashion. If God in wisdom knew the correct order of creation, don't you think He knows what needs to be best in the order of your life and my life? Don't you think He can order our paths far more effectively than we can? Because He can see the end from the beginning. And He's had lots of experience in ordering things from the beginning of creation all through. You can trust Him to order your life in the best possible way. You know, if you get back to God's plan, if I get back to God's plan for my life in this world, we get back to God's plan for life, oh, how much better it would be, wouldn't it? Because God's a God of order, and He has order. We learn that from the creation. Just in conclusion this morning, we see the continuity of creation. We read, as we mentioned already, that each tree was to bring forth after its kind, and the plants were to bring forth after their kind, and the animals and the fish and the birds were to bring forth after their kind, and human beings were to bring forth after their kind, and so on. There was a continuity that God did. He finished the creation in 6 days, but in that creation, He created it to continue on, to keep replenishing. Creation was of life that would continue all after their kind. They were to continue on. We know that from chapter 3, the entrance of sin came in. But even here we are 6,000 years plus later, and the earth is still producing in the method that God planned it to continue. Yes, some things were spoiled and destroyed, but still, plants are still producing, animals are still producing, people are still producing children, and it's still continuing. The continuity of creation is still going on. But sin did enter into the world, didn't it? And God said when sin entered into the world that man would surely die. But God wasn't done with creation when man died. He said, I still want life to carry on. And so He had a plan of restoration. He had a plan of redemption. A plan whereby mankind could continue and live forever. The plan was to send a Redeemer to redeem our lives, to grant us eternal life by faith, not by our works. God has a wonderful plan for your life. He has a plan for you to have eternal life and for you to, as His child, bring other people to Him. For us as Christians, we said last Sunday night, to bring forth fruit for Him. You may have messed it up, failed to follow His plan, but it isn't over because His grace is sufficient and He has a plan and a purpose. He wants to restore you back to that place because that's God. That's who He is. That's how He made the world. That's how He came to redeem. Jesus said, the thief comes not but for to kill and to steal and destroy, but I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. He wants you to have abundant life. In the beginning, there's a case for creation. It had to come from somewhere. We had to come. This world had to come from somewhere. And the only thing that really makes any sense is the truth of the Word of God. God made it. Creation answers those questions of who we are, where we came from, and why we're here. There is a creator of creation. He is God. He's powerful and eternal. There's nothing He can't do. And He can give you strength and victory in your life. Because He has that great power. There's character in creation, such attention to detail that God had. He sees and knows your life. He understands your situation. He has the details to take care of your life. There's chronology in creation, because God's a God of order. He has a plan for your life and for life in general. If you jumped ahead or lagged behind, get back to His plan. And there's continuity in creation. His plan for you is that you have abundant, eternal life. Do you? You can have. Because God has offered you a new creation, to be a new creature in Christ. Let's pray together.